Welcome, everybody, to another SU Oddities. You know, we try to kind of not cover cults and weird shit, especially when they're still around, because, you know, you just don't want to give these people a soapbox. But at the same time, some things are fascinating. And this is something that I stumbled on, and it was a story about life and crimes of the San Francisco witch killers. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this. I have not. And so, I don't know. Let's take a fun little stroll down the witch lane here and see what it gives us. So before Michael and Susan Bear Carson became the San Francisco witch killers, they were just two unstable divorcees partying up in the 70s psychological drug culture, basically. When they met, they were Suzanne Barnes, an unhappy mother of two teenage sons, and James Carson, a busboy pot dealer with master's degree in Chinese studies and father to one daughter. Due to the who knows how many drugs and unwavering commitment to their ideology, probably some voices in their heads too, the San Francisco killers decided to rid the world of witches. The young killer's couple's resemblance to the rest of the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood allowed them to easily vanish into the flower child crowd. The twisted saga of these killers saw them change names and jobs, but their allegiance to each other never waned as they traveled throughout the U.S. and Europe, spreading the macabre bastardization of Islam. Tons of stuff in this story, rife with contradictions. Their quest was to destroy witches, ironically sent them down some pretty witchcrafty paths. But anyway, here we go. Very interesting. So, according to Michael's daughter, Jen, Susan tipped her already mentally ill father over the edge. Michael turned violent in the final year of his marriage to Jennifer's mother, but it was not until he met Susan that he became a killer. Once he became her accomplice, she renamed him Michael, after the archangel who fought the devil in the Christian Bible. Susan was almost 10 years older than Michael, and by all accounts, she was the puppet master, and he the weak-minded student of her deranged ideologies. If we distill Susan's rhetoric down to single pitch, it would be, Susan, and this is them talking, let's take a bunch of psychedelics, change our last name to Bear, convert to Islam, and start hunting witches. Michael says, cool, I'm down. So there you go. Susan created a DIY religion that she called Islam, but it was really an elaborate collage of justifications for the couple's future crimes. Homosexuality, abortion, and witchcraft were causes for death, but drug use, murder, theft, anarchy, driving without a license, all that was cool. So yeah, a little bit imbalanced here. 1978, the couple began traveling around Europe. Along the way, they preached the ethos of the religion in the crusade against witchcraft. It failed to catch on, as they apparently lacked the Charlie Manson-type charm. It might also have been due to the glaring contradictions and ideological non-sequiturs that plagued every aspect of their belief system. In expected oxymoronic fashion, the two were wed at Stonehenge beneath the light of the moon. Of course they were. What's more witchy than a moonlight wedding, right? At the site of a old pagan worship? Fucking hilarious. We start going on to the first victim. So the first victim of the witch killers was their Haight-Ashbury roommate, Karen Barnes, a 23-year-old aspiring actress. According to Susan, while hitchhiking in a rainstorm, she received clear orders to return home and end the life of a roommate who apparently had been a witch all this time and she never knew. Since childhood, Susan claimed to be a psychic, and in her confession, she stated the reason for killing Barnes was that she was a psychic vampire witch, quote-unquote, who blocked Susan's own psychic abilities. The actual reason is much more mundane and kind of fucking petty. So, Susan and Michael grew upset with Barnes after she declined to enter a polyamorous relationship with the couple. In March of 1981, Susan commanded Michael to hit Barnes over the head with a frying pan as a young girl, Jesus, was preparing herself a snack, Christ. The frying pan did not complete the job, and Susan commanded Michael to stab her, which he did, 13 fucking times. They would later claim self-defense. I don't know how you can claim self-defense on that, but, you know, whatever. The second person they were convicted of killing was their old co-worker, Clark Stevens, from their time working on a marijuana farm in Humboldt County. During the time as fellow ranch hands working with Stevens, the couple became displeased with his heavy drinking and loud voice. Seeing his behavior as disrespect towards God, the Bears thereby deduced Stevens must be a witch. Yeah, of course. If they float, she's guilty. She's a witch. If she dies, she's innocent. Anyway, May of 1982, they shot Stevens using an old pistol filled with expired bullets. It took two bullets in the head to kill Stevens. In an attempt to prevent the body from being sniffed out, they covered it in chick manure and burnt it, burying the remains in the woods. Jesus. The body was eventually found, and because they buried him near his ID, Stevens was quickly identified, and their camouflage efforts went up in flames. Not funny, but kind of funny, right? Anyway, in January 1983, John Helyar, a friendly man in a pickup truck, took two hitchhikers headed to Santa Rosa. He could not have known they were the serial killers, as they looked like just a couple harmless stoners, basically. At some point in the 300 miles they rode together, Susan received the divine message that Helyar was a witch, of fucking course. Michael tried to shoot Helyar, but he fought back for control of the gun. As the struggle moved to the side of the road, multiple witnesses saw Michael eventually get a hold of the gun and shoot Helyar dead. The police received a call from a nearby fruit stand and began a high-speed chase after the bears who had stolen his truck. The truck swerved into a ditch, and the bears finally landed in police custody for good. However, not the end of the story. So this was kind of crazy. So did you know former President Reagan and Tonight Show host Johnny Carson were witches? Well, Susan and Michael Bear thought so. Near Clark Stevens' shallow grave, the Bears accidentally left their fantasy kill list of all the top witches they could come up with. In their televised confession, the couple once again brought up Reagan, ranting about how he was perhaps not just an agent of the devil, but the devil himself. When finally arrested in January of 1983... the couple announced they would willingly confess if they could do so in the form of a televised press conference, which, of course, right now, like real religious leaders actually would do, right? Anything for fame. For 6 hours, they fielded questions with smiles on their faces, never once expressing remorse for anything they have done. They even confessed the murder of a farm owner, Clark Stevens, which we covered, and the crime the police might have never linked them to. Another case of serial killer couples, one normally turns out on the other, but these two stood side by side each other, offering support and justification as they recounted their crimes to the camera, just smiling and talking about it. It was a thing. So despite 6 hours of footage and with both Michael and Susan discuss their crimes at length, they both pled not guilty. Of course they did. When their case went to trial, even though they recanted their statements, there still existed physical and testimonial evidence from each murder scene, Suzanne's name written in her own hand on Karen Barnes' photos, their kill list in their own hand, actual eyewitnesses, etc., etc. Furthermore, Michael wrote an op-ed letter to famous journalist Herb Kahn about how no one cared that he had rid San Francisco of its most dangerous witch, though the charmed sisters wouldn't reside in San Francisco until the following decade. Crazy. In a prediction literally anyone can make, the Bears were convicted of all three murders. After the guilty verdict was announced, Susan screamed, "What is my crime? To be beautiful? To be an artist?" In the following years, the witch killers have never shown remorse for their crimes. They also keep mum when asked if they were any other murders committed during their time on the run. But they have kept silent. So when the Bears wrote their names on the wall next to Karen Bear's body, they should have been caught. When they killed their coworker, everyone knew that they had an antagonism with. They should have been caught then. When in November of 1982, Michael was taken in police custody because of an old acquaintance spotted him hitchhiking, he should have finally been caught. But a police error allowed him to walk free before he could even be questioned. Countless instances occurred where their killers, couples, stupidity was rewarded with luck. Though a few key factors aided their continual evasion of the police after such clumsy murders. Well, shit, duh, right? One was their name changes, and both the Carsons and the Bears were both wanted for murder separately because the police did not know they were the same couple. As such, they never appeared in any credible database, and had no driver's licenses or valid marriage licenses existed to actually track them. Lastly, to wrap this all up, in an effort to declutter the many prisons of California, new legislation passed to allow inmates over 60 a chance at early parole. At this time, Michael and Suzanne had been in prison for over 30 years and were not expecting parole until 2059. In 2015, Michael, at then 64, refused to begin the parole process because he remained steadfast in his belief that he had done no wrong by ridding the world of witches. Susan, then at 73, did not immediately decline. A media frenzy ensued, which united their victims' families as well as their own children in an effort to keep them imprisoned. Susan then recanted her initial interest in parole. Though a couple has not seen each other since their sentencing in 1983, they continue to write each other letters back and forth. So, there you go. Story I've really never heard of, but short but crazy at the same time. I just, man, what goes through people's minds. I just, crazy. Anyway, hopefully you enjoyed. Stay strange, everyone. Close the gates.